Thank you very much. I'd like to call to order the CDAG executive meeting for Monday, February 29th, 2016. Can we have the roll call, please?
Blythe?
Here.
Cathedral City?
Here.
Coachella?
Here.
Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Indian Wells?
Here.
Indio?
Here to Glendale.
Okay. La Quinta?
Present.
Palm Desert?
Here.
Palm Springs?
Here.
Rancho Mirage?
Here.
Riverside County 4th District? Riverside County 5th District?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Please stand here.
Please join me as we salute the greatest flag in the nation. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We have public comments.
Excuse me.
And I do have a couple public comments. Yeah, Ms. Stevie Link, but no item. I didn't know if that was just general comments. If you wanted it to be for a specific item that's on Stevie Link, let me know. We'll alert you to that specific time. First one, and remember you have 3 minutes. First one is Ty Peabody.
Good afternoon, Ty Peabody from Indian Wells. I'm here today having read the master plan and having received a response from Tom McKirk on February 8th asking for questions to be answered in September. Unfortunately, the responses I got did not address the major issues related to CB Link. So what I'm, and the master plan is over 400 pages. It is very detailed. It does have things that I certainly wouldn't agree with, but at the transportation meeting, they actually had a vote, and most of the people on that committee didn't even read the document, not dissimilar from Obamacare. And I'm asking tonight this group to respect the citizens and all of the council members of the city and put this vote off till the next agenda meeting so that everybody, residents and council, have an opportunity to really study this. I've read it twice, and I don't know half of it. In this pamphlet I've handed out to the executive committee, this is my response to Tom's letter. There also is in there the April 6th staff meeting report. There also are comments related to the master plan. And I would just ask that you take your time. The EIR isn't coming out to the end of the year. There is no rush to approve this, and 1 month or a month and a half is not going to hurt anybody. I also would like to comment about the comments that Indian Wells is not the same as Rancho Mirage. In this particular case, our similarities are very similar. We have two routes that were proposed. That one, we've had two ballot measures that were 80% against doing anything more on Highway 111. We also had a proposal to put it down the wash, which is our $95 million asset that cannot be hurt in any particular way if we had to make that thing profitable. We're also similar in that we voted, and all of these were 5-0 votes in our council. We also voted against any attempt to use our general funds for the O&M, and we also voted to not use our portion of the Measure A money for the benefit of this project. I don't know about the rest of you, but like all of our cities, we seem to have serious cash problems, and if we don't solve those problems, we just don't have any extra money. I know people think Indian Wells is very rich, but most of our money is going to be used up in capital expenses over the next 10 years. Finally, I would just like to say I asked in December that this board work in harmony, and if we're going to fight above the table, not below the table, not taking cheap shots at people. Unfortunately, I'm disappointed because I saw Mayor Hobart attacked, and I saw a reference by somebody on this committee to the district attorney to find him guilty of some violation. Fortunately, the district attorney was astute enough to reject it out of hand. Today, and I want to thank Stan Henry, originally there was going to be a measure today, and I don't know if it's going to happen today or not. But the question was, and I'll be very quick, the question was, let Merrick Chamraj go on and do what they want, but they can't talk anymore. The last time I checked, that's a First Amendment right. Thank you.
Amen. There we go. Bob Terry.
Good afternoon. Bob Terry, Depot for Pollution. CV Link is a top-down decision forced on the valley by a small group that thinks it knows better than its citizens. A bike path itself is a good idea. TOT taxes would have made a good source of funding for such. But you wanted more, much more money. And so electric vehicles came into the picture in order to capture money designed for road repairs. This project comes with major baggage. Lies and half-truth were used to accommodate a monster power plant using what is now exposed as outdated equipment that no one else will use. Almost 3 years ago, when I first heard about the Sentinel from the Desert Sun, I contacted the Sierra Club. I had long been a supporter and worked for the Sierra Club in Washington, D.C. many years ago. When I called Jeff Morgan, now the chairman of the executive committee of the local Sierra Club chapter, I would have likely been satisfied with any number of responses from him regarding the Sentinel gas plant. We're fighting it in court. We're working with the AQMD. Lots of replies would have kept me on the sidelines tending to my small farm. I wouldn't be here today. What I wasn't prepared for was, quote, I'm not fighting the Sentinel because I'm a member of another group, Friends of Palm Springs, and we support the bike path, end quote. 20 minutes later, when the shock wore off and I decided to call Joan Taylor, now treasurer of the chapter, she told me very icily that Jeff had already warned her that I was asking questions about the Sentinel. Local members were kept in the dark. The fact that the same county supervisor who pushes the CV Link also said on the AQMD board that not only had to create pollution credits from a Catalina Island incinerator that had been closed for 10 years, we call them Lazarus credits, but as a board member was allowed to help decide where the mitigation funds went. Lo and behold, a bike path. The HIA study shows that the CV Link should not have qualified for these mitigation funds. In short, this project is built on shaky grounds by using shady politics, denying the people who will ultimately pay for it for many years the right to vote. You folks, were elected by your cities to serve your residents. You do not serve them when you make major decisions without a mandate from your constituents. You've overstepped your responsibilities to your people.
Thank you, sir. Jim Rockblatt.
Yeah, hi, I'm Jim Rockblatt. I've been up here before. I'm on the board of Friends of CV Link. I'm a cheerleader for this project. I really respect our representative form of government and appreciate the fact that you're all elected to represent us. I appreciate the work you're doing, those of you that have the foresight to look forward to building this infrastructure project. But the reason I'm up here right now is basically to provide some clarity on what the nonprofit Friends of CV Link is and what it is not. We're basically cheerleaders for this project. We believe in it. But we're not sponsored by anyone in this room. We listen to what everyone has to say, and then we do with it as we will as a board. So that's part of what I wanted to say. But what we're not, we're not a bike club. We've never been on a ride together. I couldn't even tell you if anyone rides a bike, whether they ride in the street or on the sidewalk. We believe in the project. We're not a membership organization, not yet. There's only 7 of us. We're board members. We get guests from time to time, and we have 1,500 likes on our Facebook page. Also, in some of the Rancho Mirage email blasts that have gone out from Mayor Hobart, Dave Hobart, our friend, he's accused us, or at least he made it sound negative, that some of us were cycling enthusiasts. I'm one. At least one other member of the board is a cycling enthusiast, but I'm not sure I'd describe anyone else on our board that way. But what I want to do, thanks to an email I got from Mr. Hobart, I want to out him today. Sorry, Mayor, this is going to be tough, I know.
I can handle it.
I know you can. Here it is. This is going to be shocking.
Sir, you need to address the chair about members.
Well, this is for you. He already knows this. Enjoyed our talk and your vlog. I have a cycling vlog called Desert Roadkill, where I celebrate the beauty of our valley on my rides. I try to take a photo each time I go out. Enjoyed our talk and your vlog, and I enjoyed your talk also. I had no idea we had so many trails and miles for bikes. In my younger years, I did ride a bike for fun and exercise, and truth be told, I do miss it. There it is. He's a closet, enthusiastic cyclist. Sorry.
Tom Wells.
I'm Tom Wells from Palm Desert. I'd like to ask the Palm Desert representatives of this committee when we as residents are going to have the same choices as Indian Wells and Rancho Mirage to speak our piece as to how the CB Link will be run through our city and how our monies will be spent in the future. Jan, I think you owe it to the people that elected you, and the city manager owes it to the people who employ you, to put this before us, to let us have an opportunity. Perhaps everybody will be for it. Perhaps everybody won't be. But you need to find that out, and I don't think it's fair for the way we're being treated. Thank you.
Please, let's not have applause or yays or nays or any of that, and make sure that all the comments are directed towards the chair, not to the individual members of the board. Thank you. Michael Harrington.
So I'm Michael Harrington from Rancho Mirage. But recently there was some important news that I don't know if everyone is aware of, and maybe a lot of the elected officials here would want to research more. It involved various cities, mostly in the East Valley, but a gang injunction was served. I know I recognize some faces from the press release. And I believe 450 law enforcement officers in all were involved in this operation that's been planned for 2 years. And I think the cities here should consider if there is going to be a coordinated strategy among the cities to deal with this. It involves all of the cities. I believe Sheriff Smith himself said that it affects everyone when you have a concentration of a dangerous gang. That basically has been serving an injunction, meaning they have to get out or be arrested. And when they get out, they have to go somewhere. And obviously, they're operating throughout the valley anyway. So I'm not mentioning particular cities, but I would think that the executive committee might not want to wait for public safety to push something up to you, maybe discuss with the elected officials here, a valley-wide strategy to deal with what is really a huge gang problem that affects everyone. We have the 86, and we're close to various borders and routes that are used for trafficking drugs, for example. Various safe houses are located throughout the valley and further out in the desert. So maybe this is a good way to call to start talking about it, thinking about it. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the public comments. Executive comments, director's comments.
I have a request. I put in front of everyone a summary for, it says City Council Resolution for Judgeships, and you'll see on the other side the resolution. And I realize that this is last minute. This was finalized on Friday, so it couldn't be on the agenda before then. And the next meeting is the CBAG Executive Committee has is April 25th, so I'd like to see if we can get this on the agenda today. And this simply is that we recognize in Southern California, particularly in Riverside County and San Bernardino County, there are not enough judges. And they are not asking for more money. We are asking simply for reallocation of the judge positions. They have more than their share up north. And if you look in the top paragraph, it says in San Bernardino, they're verified they need 143 judges, and they only have 86. In Riverside, they need 127. They only have 76. So it's something we need, and it's very important to us, and it's important that our community members receive fair and expeditious hearings in the courts, and there are up to 5 vacant Superior Court judgeships. Now, we certainly would like them appointed to our judges. We have, or to our courts. We have great courts, and we don't have judges in them. So I would like to consider our, we have people behind this. We have our general counsel, or no, not general counsel, I'm sorry. The head of our Superior Court in California is behind this. Our presiding judge in Riverside is behind this. And we'd like to make sure that when they go up to Sacramento, they have a handful of resolutions. So I'd like to see it today. We can get this on our agenda and adopt it. We are March 10th going to put it on the agenda for Palm Desert, so I encourage all the cities to do the same.
So it's harder for you asking for a motion to add this to the agenda?
Yes, I am. And I recognize we need 2/3 vote.
I'll second that motion.
We drew a...
And the motion included the finding that it was an urgent situation,
yes,
and it couldn't have been on the agenda prior.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a roll call vote, please. Okay, add this to the agenda. We have discussion on it. If it gets added to this.
If it's going to be unanimous, you don't need to do a roll call, but if there's going to be somebody that disputes or disagrees...
I can't support it, but I'm going to abstain. The reason I can't support it is I'm a lawyer, and I'm just going to abstain.
Why don't we do a roll call?
Taking this in 2 steps, I imagine.
Yes.
Adding first.
Yes. That's correct. Yeah. This is to add it to the agenda, and then we'll have discussion on what we're working with.
Light?
Yes.
Angel City?
Yes.
Coachella?
Yes.
Desert Hot Springs?
Aye.
Indian Wells?
Abstain.
Indio?
Aye.
La Quinta?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Aye.
Palm Springs?
Aye.
Rancho Mirage?
Aye.
Riverside County 4th District?
Aye.
Riverside County 5th District?
Aye.
It passes with one abstention.
Thank you. It'll become 7F.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As Chairman of Riverside County Transportation Commission and also in our room is our second Vice Chair, Dan Reed. I just want to give a quick update. I haven't seen you guys since the workshop. Our workshop was January 28th and 29th, and a couple items that I thought the committee should see. The California Road Charge Pilot Program, if you are interested in participating on how we're going to pay for or rebuild new roads in the future. This is an opportunity from the state level. You can go to CaliforniaRoadChargePilot.com and be a volunteer. If you travel a lot or you don't travel a lot, you can still log your miles and your travel, and it will help make decisions at the state level on how dollars will be spent in the future. They're trying to get 5,000 people signed up. It was by May, but now look on the website and they changed it to July. So if you travel a lot, this is an opportunity for you to participate. We did have a Riverside County Strategic Assessment, or Riverside County Transportation Commission Strategic Assessment. I was not present for that, but what I heard was there was a recommendation from staff to propose a new tax, and it was a motion that they would be not adopted, or not motion for explore, to explore a tax, not an actual tax. So that would be coming in the future. And then a very interesting conversation the second day was the future changes in transportation, and look at a future transportation by WSP Parson, can't read my own writing here, Biggernoff, I believe is a firm. And we've talked to CVAG Chair Tom Kirk about bringing them in to maybe do the discussion at a later date here at CVAG. But a very interesting conversation on the future of transportation. And it's not the Jetsons where we're driving around in space there. It's more about how cars will communicate with each other in the future. So it was very interesting to hear that. And then a couple other items that were on the agenda was the county transportation update. STIP funding is something that's been talked about a lot as the gas taxes are low. Over $750 million is being cut out of the budget, and ways that we're going to continue to fund projects is something that's going to happen in the future, or a discussion that needs to be happening in the future. But the good part about it for the Coachella Valley was that no funding was taken except from the CD Link, but not from the major interchanges such as Jefferson. So it was okay news for the Coachella Valley, but not very good news for the Southwestern District, who got quite a bit of money taken away from their projects. And then we had a rail update. It's pretty much where we've been talking about for the last 6 months. Studies are still being done. So with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to put out an idea to the group. It occurred to me, I recently took a tour in Indio of the jail construction site there. It is incredibly interesting and a huge, huge addition coming to the entire valley and our public safety throughout the county. I was so impressed, I thought some others of you might like to see it. And I asked about the possibility of having our next executive committee meeting someplace close to that, and there's actually a construction site, management trailers, temporary, but they have a conference room told us equivalent to this or better in that building. And so what I was thinking is if we could set it up where we would have a 3 o'clock tour or 3:30 tour and then just have our meeting immediately thereafter. That would offer that as an option. I think it would be very fascinating for most of you to see this at this stage of construction.
Any other comments?
Yes, I would request that the minutes for today's meeting reflect that the documents submitted by Ty Peabody be made part of the record. That's point one. And second, I just have some questions. Where is LeGrand Velez? What's, I haven't seen or heard of him being around. Is he ill, or is he working still here?
It's a personnel matter. I'd be happy to talk to you about it offline.
When we get a staff report under the name of Eric Felci, should we assume that they are all approved in advance by Mr. Kirk?
I would assume so.
Is that your assumption too, Mr. Kirk?
I review the staff reports before the agenda goes up.
That's good.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, I do have one. I'm sorry. Last month, we took a bus ride to L.A. and a train back from L.A. and a tour of the Southern Pacific Rail Yard and everything. I want to thank Bob Mann for setting that up. And it was a very, very informational tour. And a great way to get to L.A. and back if we ever get consistent train service. So thank you for that. It was a good time, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. We will be doing some more of those kinds of things, hopefully, in the future. And, yes, the train is coming to town.
I was actually surprised at how many people were actually on the train, most of them going to New Orleans, for Mardi Gras from L.A.
Did they start partying early?
They started partying early, yes. But it was good. Okay.
Move on to 6, the consent calendar.
Move consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 6.2, presentation from the Desert Health Care District.
Hi. For those of you that know Kathy Greco, you'll know that I'm not her. No. Hi, everyone. I first wanted to say thank you so much for your time. I'm Heather Bicona. I'm the Director of Community Investment at Brian Food Bank, and I'm here to talk to you just briefly about an emerging collective impact initiative which Kathy and Desert Healthcare District Foundation and a number of other organizations are partners to. The other partner organizations include the RAP Foundation, Riverside University Behavioral Health, Sunline Transit, United Way of the Desert, Cal State University San Bernardino Campus, Palm Desert, and USC's SoulTie Center for Social Innovation. I appreciate the concerns of those that are here in the room today, and really we're here on behalf of the tens of thousands of Coachella Valley residents who are struggling to make ends meet. Our Emerging Collective Impact Initiative is focused on household stability. I know for all of you in the room, you're very well aware that many Coachella Valley residents are facing increased and continued economic constriction. The Desert Healthcare District and several other organizations have been partners to numerous efforts at Find Food Bank over the year that have tried to address and provide sustainable solutions to the increased food insecurity that Coachella Valley residents face. Many of you might know that in 2009, the food bank distributed 6 million pounds of food a year and served 50,000 residents a month. This past August, the food bank year-to-date had distributed 11 million pounds of food and on month had served 96,000 residents. And so this collaborative group really came together to address the intersection of all of our work. And the intersection of our work really is a question around why are residents continuing to struggle? What is the root cause of that continued economic constriction? And what can we do collaboratively to provide some type of sustainable future for our friends and neighbors here in the Valley? This work was catalyzed recently by a funding award from the Laura and John Arnold Foundation, and that allowed us to formally partner with USC School of Public Policy and the Center for Social Innovation. Just briefly, I want to tell you that we have an awesome opportunity that you guys can contribute to. We are in the process of conducting a Valley-wide needs assessment, and I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Painter in a moment, but our partner for that is Dr. Gary Painter, who is the Director of Social Policy at USC Center for Social Innovation. We have some really exciting developments. One is that we're building an integrated data platform that is using address-level coded data variables for students across the Valley and hundreds of other sources of data, which Dr. Painter can speak to. You all as elected officials and communities representing multiple systems really have an opportunity to contribute to this data platform, and we are going to give you a summary document when I'm done in just a couple of seconds that explains more about our initiative and about the needs assessment that we're in the process of doing. So really this is just serves as a brief update and invitation for your participation. With that, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Painter, who will give a high-level overview of the work and maybe mention just a couple of things that we've learned in our first draft of the needs assessment.
My name is Gary Painter. It's a pleasure to be here today. When the group headed by Find Food and the Desert Healthcare District came to us to see if there was a partnership, I was really excited to see the level of collaboration that was already there. The Price Center for Social Innovation endeavors to eliminate strategies to improve the quality of life in low-income communities. And so in order to do that, you have to do a couple of things. One is you actually have to make decisions based on evidence to know what innovations are actually changing the lives of folks. And so in order to do that, you have to take a first step to build integrated data platforms that go across areas. So it's not just education, it's not just public safety in isolation. It's not just health, it's not just transportation in isolation, but being able to actually understand what's happening across all of these areas in a concentrated and collective way. Therefore, from once you do that kind of an assessment, and some of the things that we're learning already in the assessment are some of the challenges related to what's happening in the Coachella Valley compared to the state of California, where poverty has been increasing at faster rates in the Coachella Valley than other parts of the country. That, and you know, without going into too many details on that, but with that context, it provides the opportunity to design and implement and then evaluate interventions to change the lives of folks in the valley. And again, in order to do this effectively, you need to make decisions based on data. And you know how important data-driven decision-making is in making wise decisions. And so what we're all about in terms of building this system together, and this will be a system that will be available publicly across agencies, so that you, if you're working in transportation, can understand how housing is impacting your transportation choices. To build a base on, if you're doing economic development, you can determine how the pipeline in education is going to relate to that. And so as we're working collectively, you'll likely be getting calls from people who might call your city to ask about some of the public safety data or to call the county office. And so many of you have many partners already jump on board, so that when we actually think about interventions to help the residents of the valley, that we can do it in a way that is effective, innovative, and can make a lasting difference. So appreciate your time today, and we look forward to partnering with you as we move forward in the coming years.
Can I get to ask any questions?
Sure. Sure.
Question for Dr. Painter? I guess either or. With the collaboration, do you have school districts involved as well, since the important factor is getting food in kids' bellies to make them thrive?
We do. We're in the process of signing the MOU for the three main school districts, and we're really excited about that, because many of the interventions that one could imagine, given that you can see our collective focus statement is looking at families, is this really affect the lives of kids. And so we're really excited to have that as part of the effort, because then you can look at kind of the environments that people are living in, the neighborhood environments and so forth, to see how kids are doing. So that was one terrific first step that we've been able to get in terms of partnership.
And when you look at the thousands that you serve and find, and the disparity in terms of across the valley, where the majority of patients or residents live, that patients, I'm healthcare focused, residents live that we're serving and find?
I think that, to be honest, Linda, from the first draft of the assessment, what's shocking is that the struggle that we see is really all the way across the valley. And the data that Dr. Painter is using is aggregated up to a census tract level, and we're really just in the first draft now. But I think that's one of the things that's most shocking to us, is there's a perception that need is concentrated in the east and the west, and in fact, there's pockets of deprivation literally all the way across the map. And so really this is an opportunity. We've never had a lens like this from which we can actually see more clearly. And all of you have the opportunity, if you have data that you might think would be appropriate to contribute, that Dr. Painter and his team are actually able to analyze. The school district data, we signed an MOU with the County Office of Education for 130 address level variables to be analyzed. That's not ever happened previously in this context. So it's really a win for us and a win for all of you to be able to see the picture that paints of the struggle that residents are facing.
Appreciate it. One of the great things about being a university partner is that we have structures in place to keep those kinds of data safe and secure. And so, you know, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, people knowing what's happening in a particular place and so forth. And so we're going to be aggregating that at the census tract level so that people can get a picture of what's happening in their communities.
Great.
So,
a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Are we working with our tribal neighbors as well in this effort? We've got about five tribes here that would benefit. And second, what are some of the themes that we're seeing, or what is the data telling us about our issues here in the valley? Preliminary.
So on with respect to the data itself, it's going to be, as long as, you know, the tribes are included in the census tract, as long as the students are coming to the school systems, we're going to have those kinds of data to analyze. In terms of the themes, I could pick each one of the areas if we want. So in transportation, one of the things that's kind of been shocking in terms of an eye-opener for me is that there's actually the percentage of families without vehicles has risen dramatically in the last 2 or 3 years, not at a time when there's more people using public transit. So that kind of signals an extra burden that people may not have been aware of, so that people can get to jobs. When you look at the percentage of families who are under the 200% level of poverty, that's also increased at a much faster rate than in California. And as Heather mentioned, that there are pockets of this poverty throughout the region. Overall, 46% of residents in Coachella Valley are below that region. It's only twice the level of the poverty line. So it's a pervasive problem, but it's also a widespread problem in not just some pockets.
Sure, and if I could just comment, because I think it's timely that you talked about transportation. I know the Valley is very excited about a train coming to town, but some of the dollar proposals is to take money from Sunline and actually fund the train. And Sunline is our regional transportation agency that has that can address some of these issues. So it's a balance, you know, because if we give money somewhere else, we're going to have to take it from, you know, addressing some of these issues. So that's important that be said and be put out there.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 7A is a final audit financial report. This is received and filed. Are there any questions for it? Seeing no questions, thank you very much. You did a great job.
Can we get a motion and approval?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Any opposed? Item B is consider an agreement with California First for a regional patient program.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and committee members. The staff report before you is asking this committee to approve an agreement with Review Financial to implement the California First program regionally in the Coachella Valley with CBAG oversight and to authorize the executive director and or the CBAG's legal counsel to make minor changes or revisions for clarification purposes. The agreement will provide CBAG oversight consistent with the policies and procedures that were currently adopted and are in place with both the HUO and the White Green programs. If approved, CBAG and California First staff will coordinate with each CBAG member city agency to adopt the resolution and join the California Statewide Community Development Authority's Open Case Program. Staff is seeking approval by the Executive Committee for the attached agreements with Review Financial to authorize the Executive Director and or CBAG Legal Counsel to make minor changes to revisions or revisions to for clarification purposes. And I will answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions? So we have a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Item C, the supervisor Bernard's request regarding policy about CD Link through Rancho Mirage. Before we get started on this, I'd like to modify the recommendation and remove item 2 of this so that the only thing we're talking about is the interest of Rancho Mirage's counsel, and that we will support whatever the Rancho Mirage's counsel be.
Mr. Chair, the sponsor of the recommendation, you and I have had a chance to discuss this, and after reflecting on it, I agree with your assessment that it's perhaps a step too far. And you know, the content was well intended. We just simply need to move on and recognize, first of all, number one, that this body has made the determination, never had any other position to force us on any city that didn't want to participate. But I don't know that that's been clearly stated, and I wanted to state it clearly. The second one, perhaps, is an infringement on their right to continue to have whatever discussion they want to have. I just don't know the point of having further discussions if they're not participating, but that's up to them. But so I agree with your suggestion. I don't know, it's probably premature to make a motion, but when the motion is made, I would recommend that we just take item number 1.
Thank you.
Is somebody clarifying just where we are in this discussion?
Well, the recommendation is just item one, is to adopt the following policy statement. While the executive committee, in accordance with state environmental law, will await, I need to put my glasses on so I can see, but take it. An environmental analysis to approve or not approve the routes through the valley. It is our express intent to take all steps necessary to omit Rancho Mirage segment from the preferred project as requested and comments that have been made by Rancho Mirage's council today.
Well, I'm not really sure what all that means, but I guess I'll find out in a moment. The only thing I did want to make a comment, Supervisor Benoit did allude to recommendation two when he said that it has always been the intent of this organization never to try to foist upon Rancho Mirage a CB Link route that we didn't approve of. I think I'm quoting you fairly accurately.
Well, actually, I was referring to item number one, and that is contained in number one, that it's the express intent that we would omit Rancho Mirage, not except the second one. The second one was a really kind of a request to the council how to proceed, and that's really inappropriate. I agree. We'll just drop that completely. We're only going to be talking about if the motion as I anticipated. Number one, which just clarifies that we're not going to force Rancho Mirage to take CB Link if they don't want to play.
How can you make a motion to do that when, by law, you can't? You can't do it. You can force Rancho Mirage.
It's a policy statement. All we're saying is we're saying to, so that Rancho Mirage has the clear understanding that we've talked about in the past that we will not do anything to force CB Link on Rancho Mirage if that is the direction that the city of Rancho Mirage takes.
Okay, if that's the discussion, then I'll have a chance to make a comment or two on that. Okay.
You want to start the discussion? I don't think we can.
Maybe I should start it.
Go ahead.
Motion. For bringing the recommendation. You know, it's been, and it appears still today, some misunderstanding, but it seems to be that 6 months ago in this room or many meetings ago, we came to the clear conclusion that Rancho Mirage was not going to be involved in CB Link. They've taken, I think, 18 or 20 votes against it in their council. I've read multiple long epistles about it from the mayor. Their participation, in my mind, is months ago was clear that they were not going to be involved. But I'm not sure that the public understands that we have taken that position, that CB Link was, or the CBAG has been kind of painted as we're going to force this down Rancho Mirage's throats. And I wanted to clarify, for the benefit of everybody in the room and in the valley, that's not our intent. For months we've been saying that's not our intent, but I don't think that message has been clearly made. I think it may be becoming clear now, but I want to take the step of asking this body to approve a policy statement that we will not take forces upon Rancho Mirage. So that was my intent. As I said, I'm willing to forget the second piece and just move that we approve that statement contained in item number one of the staff recommendation. And I'll make that motion.
Is there any discussion?
Second.
Is there a second for that motion?
I would second.
Any further discussion?
Yes.
Yes.
First, I'll say that I highly regard Supervisor Benoit and know in the past of some very smart decisions that he's made, and I've tried to do my best to support our supervisor in issues that were difficult. But I will have to take exception to the comment that he's made. Clearly, CBAG never intended to go forward with CB Link and Rancho Mirage over the City Council's objections. That's not an accurate statement. Instead of recognizing Rancho Mirage's unique built-out situation, CBAG has made every possible effort to force us to accept CB Link traversing down Bob Hope Drive and Highway 111. And now, after we have legally blocked it, CBAG claims they never intended to disregard our city's position. The error of this claim, that they never intended to impose CB Link on us, is buttressed by the fact that CBAG has authorized spending $150,000 on an environmental impact study that continues to include Bob Hope Drive and Highway 111. And that was only recently added to the file. This was done after the city blocked the route for CB Link into the city. And we did that by way of an ordinance that ended it at that point. However, there's further evidence that this assertion that there was never an intent to go forward over our dead bodies, so to speak. Mr. Kirk continues to prepare for the day that Rancho Mirage City Council has three CBAG-friendly members who would vote in favor of CB Link going along Bob Hope Drive and 111, Highway 111. The proof of that statement lies in Mr. Kirk's recorded statement to the TAC committee a couple of months ago when they were discussing this issue. He said, "From our perspective, the broader environmental document, the better, because circumstances change. Maybe even politics change and generations change. And having a full range of alternatives gives somebody in the future an opportunity to make a different decision than somebody today might make," which, of course, Rancho Mirage has made. CBAG's claim that they now embrace Rancho Mirage's independence is contradicted by Mr. Kirk's unambiguous statement. They plan to hibernate in the hope that later they will secure three favorable votes on the Rancho Mirage City Council. Mr. Kirk's statement is an unambiguous declaration that CBAG's goal is and remains to run CB Link down the city's most important roadways when and if the composition of the city council changes. Remember full well that Rancho Mirage offered and continues to offer CB Link a route through our city via Ramon Road. We have always stated that we do not want to prevent continuity between the cities. This, of course, assumes we know and agree to all of the relevant fiscal and operational facts that affect the financial well-being of every city. Today, CBAG asks you to support a vote that asks me and the city of Rancho Mirage to cease our... We don't have to get into that. Let me end with the recollection for everyone who doesn't remember it. Let me stress first Ramon Road. We have made Ramon Road available to CBAG to be a continuity connection between Petito City and Palm Desert. We've done it for a long, long time. Instead of employing an environmental impact study on Ramon Road, CBAG made the decision, this committee made the decision, that we won't do an environmental study on Ramon Road, but rather we will do an environmental study on the road they told us we can't use, Highway 111, Bob Hope. The fact that you refuse to take Ramon Road weighs heavily on your shoulders, not on ours, because it continues to be available, as irritated as we are by the portions of this motion that we're not getting into. But with respect to how Rancho Mirage has been treated by the committee, the executive committee, by just simply never paying any attention to any route or statement or position unless Mr. Kirk supports it, or Mr. Benoit, Supervisor Benoit. It's not a good way to show independence and transparency in this organization. Finally, I want to say that neither I nor our city started out by opposing CB Link. Indeed, we supported it from the beginning. That is, until we learned certain things. Then we pulled back. We learned that the construction cost estimates climbed by tens of millions of dollars over earlier estimates, and that there has been little or no grant money received by CB Link for well over a year. We learned to doubt the legality of the plan to use Measure A funds to pay for construction and maintenance costs, a subject not raised by the staff at the February 2012 Executive Committee meeting when the $20 million was originally approved. On that point, it states in our documents repeatedly and somewhere in today's record of documents, it says that that money was to come from transportation funds, going back to the February 2012 meeting. I was there. I think that was the first or second a meeting that I had ever been to an Executive Committee meeting. And at that meeting, I voted in favor of using Measure A funds, not having the slightest idea what the Measure A law and ordinance established and required. At that meeting, we were told what we now euphemistically refer to as transportation funds. When I say we, they don't include me, I include staff and others. They call them transportation funds, and I've seen it denied by staff that they ever meant Measure A funds at that time, when indeed they did, and they know they did. Anybody who listens to the record will establish that. So when they say it didn't occur, it did occur. We also changed our position when we learned of CBAG's plan to dismantle the TPPS process that until today assured us all that Measure A and TUMP funds could only be used to repair or rebuild debilitated roads, intersections, and bridges as voted by the people in 2002 and 1988. We changed our position on March 30th, when Mr. Kirk came to our city hall and announced he had a recommended 8% TOT plan to pay for operations and maintenance that had Rancho Mirage paying an annual amount as of the ninth year between $111,000 and $258,000 at CBAG's sole discretion. We also learned the truth of the false promise contained in both the August 2014 master plan in the March 2015 master plan that stated in capitalized letters, operations and maintenance will not require local funding. We have never had an explanation of what went wrong. Why was that promise made without knowing if it could be kept? And so far, nobody has taken responsibility for promoting that failed promise. We also learned that aside from intending to take $600,000 annually from our Measure A funds, CBAG actually has no O&M plan and literally intends to build all or part of CD Link before an acceptable O&M plan is agreed to by all cities. We learned that this $100 million project is not free money, as I've heard so many people say. It is not a case of if we don't use it, we lose it, as I've heard people say. This slogan has misled many Valley cities. We've also learned that CBAG is obscuring the financial fact that $50 million of the so-called $73 million raised, I'm deducting the $2 million that the state of California took back because of their problems, of the so-called $73 million raised is in reality nothing more than a combination of Measure A monies and money directly received from RCTC that would otherwise absolutely be spent in Coachella Valley. Those are the reasons we used to be in favor of CD Link and the reasons why we no longer are. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I'll open the public comments. Boyd and Elkhorn. Boyd here. Michael Harrington.
So I'm Michael Harrington, Rancho Mirage. So at an earlier meeting, I pointed out that elected officials from Rancho Mirage, from my city, seem to make contradictory statements.
One elected official who said he spoke on behalf of the entire city council stated that CV Link was a revolutionary new idea in transportation. So they seem to be in love with the idea. And he said basically it's modified golf carts, bikes, and jogging on a trail that's going to link all of the valleys. I don't know if it's revolutionary or not, but in any event, they seem to be all for it. And then they said, they made many statements, other elected officials from Rancho Mirage made statements that, you know, this is being forced on them somehow. If I see that, or Tom Kirk, or by other unnamed people or influences. Friday, a letter went out from one of the elected officials of Rancho Mirage, an email that was talked about, I believe, in the Desert Sun, that the city's, that CVAC never asked the cities first. But if you say, I like this idea, that seems to make asking kind of moot if you already expressed that you like it. So it seems to be a contradiction. So I'm glad now that someone from Rancho Mirage is speaking out, trying to explain this apparent contradiction. I called for that. I'm just not satisfied. It seems to be backpedaling, blaming other people, blaming staff, saying they were tricked, they didn't have the information. I know there are people here from People Over Pollution and other groups that spoke, Bob Terry, years ago. They gave me all the information. This is a group that usually meets in the park, just citizens, school teachers and other people. They had all the research and they get together and talk. And I reach out to everyone, and they had a notebook, I would say, maybe, you know, 6 inches or more thick. And I hope they're here, maybe they'll speak. So an elected official should do their homework before they make a statement. I'm not happy with the explanation. I think we need more, because all the cities here were told, let's do it, and now we're being held up again and again and again. It costs money, whether you're for it or against it. We don't need this log jam and pointing the fingers and so forth and causing disruption to our system. This costs a lot of taxpayer money. It causes problems for cities throughout the valley. So I'm Michael Harrington. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand Lloyd's in the room.
Who?
Lloyd?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Looking at the CV Link, one of the first questions I have is the process that we go about through this, since there's so much confusion about what the CV Link consists of, and this, now that it's considered a regionally significant roadway. Point of confusion that I see in the newspapers all the time, they continually refer to it, or a lot of times that I've seen really, as a bike path, and never references what it's actually intended to be. And just on that point alone, it would seem to me that it's better to have a vote on this with it clearly spelled out what this does. I personally don't see how it rose to the level that it's above an arterial in nature here, that it competes with other transportation networks that are existing, such as Highway 111, Interstate 10, and another step in the documents, the general plan for the different cities, that it's really not stated in there, because you see the hierarchy of typical road sections, and that is just not in there. So it seems like you'd have to go through and make a general plan change to elevate this up to compete with that. I certainly have issues with saying that there's going to be 3 million pedestrian and bicycle users by the year 2000, I think it was 35, I believe. So I don't know where they're coming from, because I look at areas around here, in the new areas where there's been construction, and I see the combined bike path sidewalks adjacent to roadway, but I still see the bicycles using the street system and causing people to go around them. So again, I just assume I have this go to a vote for the whole project here, and not just city by city. Some of the comments that I saw in the newspaper on Friday was a person that was in support of the CV Link, but he was talking about the bike path again, and said he read nothing about the issues with the bike path, And so I looked up in the frequently asked question section in the CB Link. They mentioned the Santa Ana River Trail, and I guess that goes through parts of the urbanized area of LA and Riverside. And what it said in there, that they have this bike path. It's a 12-foot bike path on a 30-foot right-of-way to accommodate everybody. But they said in there that they had that construction, and in 2009, it practically shut down because of issues with gangs taking over the road, homeless people taking over the roads, and so they had to increase.
Sir, your time's up, please.
Oh, time's up?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Victor? Gaynor?
Yes, Mr. Chair, committee members, and staff. My name is Vic Gaynor. I live in Palm Springs. I've been a long-term advocate for CB Link and for anything, quite frankly, that helps promote better health here in the Coachella Valley. I don't think any reasonable person could argue against the proposition that regular exercise promotes reduced fat and better health. In fact, it's a fact not in dispute that there is a childhood obesity epidemic here in the Coachella Valley. Rancho Mirage is no exception. More than 50% of your elementary schools in Rancho Mirage are within 1 mile of CB Link. Elected officials, as we, and certainly all of you know, take an oath to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the people who voted you into office and all of your voters. It would be, quite frankly, in my view, irresponsible to ignore the critical need to afford school-aged children the opportunity to get out of carpools, get on their bikes, put on their running shoes, get some exercise on their way to school. I don't think any reasonable person could argue against that. The rest of us who have used path that will be CB Link for many, many years, both as runners, people on bikes, come off the Cathedral City portion of the trail that exists now, onto Frank Sinatra, and the logical place for us to go, we've done it for years as runners and bike riders, is the Butler Abrams Trail. We're going to continue to do so, obviously, after CB Link is built and Rancho Mirage is bookended. One last comment. The people who are tourists, who are unaware of where the Butler Abrams Trail is, are going to turn right onto Highway 111, where there have been a host of accidents. Some of them, unfortunately, will be crippled and killed. And unless you do something to, knowing that this is going to happen, mitigate this, you're going to increase your liability. I'm sure you know that as an attorney, Mayor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gary Rugers? I apologize if I messed up the name.
Good afternoon, Chairman. My name is Gary Luders. I am the new president of Friends of CB Link. The last guy had a triple bypass. I'm not saying that this is a very stressful position, but I'm taking it all out one way or another. So we'll see what the history happens to me. What I have here is a very simple ballot box. See this right here, hole here? We went out around the community polling people in the valley, citizens. We took a measure of what their intent was, what they thought about CB Link. And so I have here, 500 or 600 signatures. Now, these are not just residents of our valley. These are tourists here that come here because they like our weather, they like coming here. And the question was, after we told them what it was about, we asked them, do you support it and would you use it? And all of them signed it. And I got all the signatures here. I'll leave it for you to verify. You know, this is not official, but this is a type of election. One story I want to share with you. We covered different locations. Now, first of all, I didn't go hang out around restaurants. I didn't go to the bar at the golf club. We went to locations where there were active people. One place we were located was at the Tamale Festival down in Indio. So had an encounter with a family, young family. He was a next gen with two maybe 12, 14-year-old kids. Talked to them about it. They're from L.A. out visiting, and they were far. They ride bikes. And I said, okay, we'll sign this. And he said, oh, I can't. And pointed back then. Looked behind, there was a gentleman back there. That was his father-in-law who lives in Rancho Mirage. And he was not about to sign this to cause any family dissension. I looked at the gentleman back there, and he was looking rather uncomfortable because he was in Rancho Mirage. I mean, he was from Rancho Mirage, he was Indio, and he was surrounded by those people, okay? So that's kind of the point I want to make. People throughout this whole valley who have come here are for CV Link. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's a motion, a second.
May I?
I have a
chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to amend the motion by striking the words and inserting the following. Rancho Mirage moves that CVAG accept as a policy the sovereignty of each city to determine which projects and programs will be permitted in such cities, and when a city makes a decision, the executive committee will respect such decision or decisions and take action accordingly.
Can you read that one more time?
Sure.
Just to make sure we have it appropriate.
Rancho Mirage moves that CVAG accept as a policy the sovereignty of each city to determine which projects and programs will be permitted in such cities, and when a city makes a decision, the executive committee will respect such decision or decisions and take action accordingly. I hope that's two times in a row close to the same.
You have a motion, right?
We have a motion. We have a motion to amend that motion. In the past, we have allowed other members to amend someone else's motion. What we are supposed to do is take a vote on whether we'll allow that amendment.
But there's not a second.
Well, yeah, we would first take a second. And my only thought is that it's very broad. And the whole point of this was to be specific to the CV Link. So I might invite I might invite someone to amend it one more time and then make the motion, but that's
the idea is to make it broad so that we know that we're not making an exception in the case of the CV Link. In the case of the CV Link, we'll pay attention to what the city wants. We don't want to take a stand beyond that. That's my hope is we simply, generally speaking, recognize the sovereignty of cities to make their own determinations.
Okay, you would need a second.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there a discussion?
I have a simple statement, if I may. If we took that position with so many of our projects that go through our valley, Highway 111 would be a debacle. It does take CVAG to coordinate those efforts. And for that reason, I wouldn't support it. And that's just one illustration of many things that could occur.
And one perhaps consideration for the mayor's consideration as well as the rest of the committee is a broad statement. And it could also be placed on a future agenda, and perhaps your staff and legal team could do an analysis of what the implications of that are. Frankly, I don't know, sitting here right now.
Well, maybe that's so, and maybe it is too broad. But I can't support a motion that says CVAG is going to respect Ranch Mirage's decision in this setting. Considering the acrimony that's been in existence for a long time, I couldn't care less. Our city couldn't care less what CVAG does with respect to that. To say, well, we're going to recognize you now as having the right to make the decision, and after all this time fighting it, and not making that decision when we first made it, not accepting that setting when we first passed our ordinance prohibiting CVLink to coming into Ranch Mirage. It's like we need that approval. We don't need your approval. We've taken it away from you to make that decision for us. We have made our own decision with respect to Ranch Mirage. Maybe the better thing to do would be to get away from this kind of discussion. Is maybe we should just table the motion and forget it.
From my recollection, Steph, we have all, and I think that's what Supervisor Benoit is trying to get to, is we have all recognized your individual, and I think I even said this at one time when we were voting on the EIR, and that is that we're not telling you that you have to happen. We're giving what the recommendations and what the ideas will be and an evaluation of what those are. And if we, and I think actually I said at that time, is if we were voting to say yes or no in Ranch Mirage, I would be 100% behind you because that's what you said, no. And I think that's what Supervisor Benoit is trying to say is we are supportive of that. I think to make it so broad that it could be the homeless issue next time, or it could be this, that's not the intent. The intent is to say that we understand where you're at, we understand your individual issues having to do with CVLink, and the council's decision through your ordinance is not to allow CVLink in Ranch Mirage, and we are supportive as a policy statement to that.
Well, I remember when you made your comment, you may remember, Chairman Henry, you may remember that I said you were misinterpreting the setting at that time. But because at that time, that decision to go forward with an environmental impact study on routes that we had said absolutely are not available, the committee went forward with an EIR study of those routes, costing an extra $150,000, as I recall. So I disagree with you. That
and you know what? That's what's going right by our country.
Anyway, you don't take it personally, and neither do I.
No.
Yeah, me either. But the bottom line is, it's audacious on your part to think that you can somehow get another, take a position where we are acquiescing to us, like we need that acquiescence. We don't need it. That's why I'm saying, maybe we ought to just kill the subject. I mean, if you want to vote on it, you vote on it, but you keep the issue alive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
First of all, I would like to see a vote on it, and I want to go forward with it. And it's because of the serious misunderstanding that still exists on many of the points that you made earlier, and the consistent effort to point those things out. When in fact, we've talked about them here, and many of them are. The Ramon Road alternative, I recall vividly seeing that on a map. It was Ranch Mirage says, we want that 2 miles at the top, but we can't connect it through these other roads. And it made no sense to build 2 miles, several miles away from the rest of the CV Link. So that the group decided we're not going to spend money on that. The extra $150,000 was simply to add a no-build alternative into the existing CV Link environmental impact report proposal. We need to address that because you have said you're not going to allow it to be built in Ranch Mirage, and that was not included in the original proposal for how we would do the environmental impact report. You know, it's just clear that we need to clarify for the residents of the rest of the valley, the supporters of the CV Link throughout the valley, the cities that are anxious to see a beautiful world-class multi-purpose pathway built through their cities, that we recognize Ranch Mirage is not going to participate in that process. And it my intent to be clear on that. I don't intend, and I don't think we need as a body to decide that we're going to listen to you on other issues. We already do. The statement you made, and I wouldn't want to support it because I haven't seen it in writing. I'd like to have it from you before we proceed any further on something of that import. But the statement you made is generally certainly our policy anyway. But on the specific issue of whether or not we intend to force CB Link to go through Rancho Mirage, I want this body to set the record straight and say, for the benefit of everybody in the room and everybody in the valley, that's not our intent. It wasn't several months ago. We never intended to force it on anybody, even when Rancho Mirage was in support of it. But let's clarify today, here and now, that we're not going to do that over Rancho Mirage's objections. And that's what this proposed policy statement says, is that it is our express intent to take all steps necessary to omit Rancho Mirage segments from the preferred project. So I would recommend that we take that up and see if we have the support for it. If not, we have to approve.
If I may respond to the supervisor, with all due respect, you're rewriting history. First off, the $150,000 I think did include a no route, but it also included Bob Hope Drive and Highway 111. Those were the two that we said no to. We don't care if we spend money on a no route taken, environmental impact on that. That's fine. No objection. But to spend money, what you're doing right now, and you're still moving forward with it, nobody has withdrawn it. You're doing an environmental impact study on two streets that we said you can't go down. But the bottom line is, to say that you are not going to try to force yourselves, CB Link / CBAC, force yourselves on Rancho Mirage because you're being big guys, bottom line is you're doing it because you have no option. We have already closed the door, and you couldn't do it if you wanted to do it. So to say, well, I didn't want to do it anyway, I mean, that's, I guess you can take that position. But I'd like that to be absolutely clear, and I think it is now. Thank you.
Harry?
I believe the matter on the table is Mayor Hobart's substitute motion. I would call the question.
No second on the motion.
Yes, there was.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Can we have a roll call vote for the substitute motion?
Why?
I'm going to vote no because I haven't talked to my counsel and I haven't talked to my legal counsel.
Just for the record, I don't quite understand.
We have a vote.
Okay.
So let's just follow through these.
And then I won't say point of order. I'll just talk to you later. Bye.
Cathedral City?
No.
Coachella?
No.
Desert Hot Springs?
No.
Indian Wells?
No.
India?
No.
La Quinta?
No.
Home Desert?
No.
Home Springs?
No.
Ranch Marsh?
Yes.
Riverside County
4th
District?
No.
Riverside County 5th District?
No.
So now the original motion?
Announce the result. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I believe it was.
One yes?
One yes. No.
Thank you.
11.
11 no's and one yes. The original motion?
Okay. We need someone to move.
Yeah, there is a motion.
There
is a
second.
So I moved
well,
it.
You go right to the digital.
Okay. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Okay. Yes. Question, do you need to specify CB Link in this versus route throughout the valley?
May I ask a point of information?
Yes, sir.
Does Mr. Benoit's motion include an environmental analysis of Ramon Road?
There's nothing at all refers to the specifics of the environmental analysis other than what has already been approved by this group, which did not include Ramon Road. With respect to the question from Ms. Evans, I would accept an amendment to add the word CB Link as necessary to omit Rancho Mirage CB link segments from the preferred project. And I would ask the second to concur in that amendment.
I think that was the
correct. Yeah, absolutely.
You have a roll call vote, please.
Clark?
Yes.
Cathedral City?
Yes.
Coachella?
Yes.
Desert Hot Springs?
Yes.
Indian Wells?
Yes.
Indio?
Yes.
La Quinta?
Yes.
Palm Desert?
Yes.
Palm Springs?
Yes.
Rancho Mirage?
No.
Riverside County 4th District?
Yes.
Riverside County 5th District?
Yes.
That's 11-1-2. Passes 11-1. Item D, CB Link, final, my understanding it's conceptual master plan.
Mr. Chairman?
Brief.
Chairman and members of the committee, with this item, staff is presenting you with the CB Link master plan, which is our guiding document for development, construction, and maintenance and expansion of the project. As you know, this report has been years in the making, but the concept of creating a trail along the Whitewater River Channel has actually been around for decades. And in 2011, CBEC began exploring the idea of a multi-use trail that could accommodate bicycles, pedestrians, and golf carts. A preliminary study report, which was released in January 2012, concluded that the concept was indeed feasible, requiring a minor expansion of your typical bike path from 12 feet to 14 feet, and also recommending a separate pedestrian path. So over the years, we've not only studied this plan, but we've also built widespread support for the concept. And that support has been made evident by the financial commitments that we've received. They're outlined in your staff report, but I'll just highlight a few. We've received support from the California Strategic Growth Council, the South Coast Air Quality Management District, the Desert Healthcare District, the Riverside County Regional Park and Open Space District, and from Caltrans. So in June 2014, an initial draft of this master plan was presented to the executive committee. Based on the feedback, we incorporated some edits, and we made the CB Link master plan available in August of 2014. So after that release, we received some comments from public organizations and from private citizens, and we made some revisions and additions for the master plan that went to you in March 2015. Now, as part of our planning, CBEC has conducted extensive outreach on the master plan, and much of it has been focused on our routes. We've also been out in the community, going to events like Tour de Palm Springs, the Tamale Festival in Indio, and the Disability Sports Festival in Palm Desert. And we've continued to work closely with the local city councils, and we received feedback through our executive committee meetings, as you are well aware. Additionally, and at the direction of this committee, we did outreach that was focused on future operations and maintenance costs. And a lot of you have participated in that effort, and we appreciate it. To summarize, it included two different workshops, which we held last summer. We also conducted two different surveys. We looked at the operations and maintenance costs of existing trails. We also looked at security issues at our existing parks and trails. So all of that has gotten us to this, the CB Link Master Plan. And much like our previous versions, Volume 1 is an overarching look at CB Link, including how it will connect our communities, the benefits to building it, and the alternative routes. This does not commit any city to any route. This is a conceptual plan. Volume 2 is the appendices, which include the results of the survey that I just mentioned. And Volume 3 has more details on our alternatives. Volume 4 is the Neighborhood Electric Vehicle Transportation Plan, which is the companion document to the CB Link Master Plan. Now, state law requires several levels of review of this plan, which has been completed. The California Traffic Control Devices Committee reviewed and approved the plan at their March 2015 meeting. And this was reviewed by Riverside County Transportation Commission staff to ensure that it's consistent with state and local requirements and that it does not conflict with any countywide transportation priorities. Because of these early reviews and approval, there were no changes that we made to this particular volume. The revisions that you do see in the master plan are all based on community input and the direction from this committee. And At the suggestion of the Transportation Committee, we summarize those into the staff report. But to go into just a little bit of detail, we have with you, I'd like to introduce Mike Rose. He's a principal with Alta Planning and Design.
Thanks, Erica. So I'm going to walk you through, we're the lead consultant on the design of CV Link, so I'm going to walk you through some of the changes in the master plan. So first, we updated our maps with the alternative routes. These were at the suggestions that we had heard from the different communities. We did add the no-build option in two cities, Rancho Mirage and Indian Wells. We revised the operations and maintenance costs. We had a few workshops in the fall, and we went over these operations and maintenance costs. We got a lot of feedback from the communities, got a sense of what it really costs for them to do these, and we revised those in our master plan based on that input. We also made the plan more user-friendly. As the councilman said earlier, it's a large document. It's a large, complex document, so we tried to simplify things, make things a little bit easier to read, a more digestible, user-friendly document. The survey responses that we got in relation to O&M were added to Volume 2, as Erica just mentioned. So if you do look in Volume 2 of the master plan, you can see the detail of those responses. The maps and tables are a little easier to read. We cleaned them up a little bit, added some more street names to the maps, a little bit easier to follow and understand what you're looking at. And the cost estimate was revised based on the alternative alignments that we have in there now. We made some adjustments to the alignments, so obviously the costs are going to be modified a little bit as well. So I'd like to show you a couple examples of the maps and the changes that you'll see. The first one here is in Palm Springs. You'll notice the purple circle outlines the Four Seasons community. Previously, there were three alignments for the Four Seasons community along the Wash. Now we actually have another alignment that's that vertical north-south line and a horizontal east-west line along the roadway. That was based on a lot of feedback we had from that community. In Rancho Mirage, you'll notice all the alignments here are shown as alternatives in purple. And then you'll also notice the circle down here in the lower right of the screen. It indicates that there's a no-build alternative as well. It's difficult to show a no-build with lines on a map, so we're just indicating it with a note. And in Palm Desert, I just wanted to show an example of a community with some other alternative alignments in it as well. So you can see we're looking at two different alternatives here on Magnesia Falls or along the Wash. And an example here, Indian Wells, you can see in the lower right, they also have a no-build alternative in this plan. And all of the alignments in Indian Wells are purple because they're all alternatives for evaluation at this point in time. We also want to add, or show, that we added a community connector for the La Entrada community, which is coming. The developer of this project is really excited about CVLink, wanted to have it be included and connected to CVLink as well. As you know, it's 900 acres, 7,000 new housing units. It's going to be a big place, and they wanted to be part of CVLink. And then also we added a future connection to Desert Hot Springs, and that's that blue, roughly vertical line that you see inside that purple circle on this map. So where do we go next? Well, what's happening now is we will complete the environmental work. That document, all the options will be considered. The alignments that you just saw will be considered an environmental document. We're going to complete our 30% design plans. Those are going to be necessary in order to do the environmental document. And permitting and construction will begin in 2017. At this point, I'm going to hand it back to Erica.
I'll just recap a little bit of the votes. We gave this presentation to the Transportation Committee, and with the staff recommendation that it be received and filed, the committee instead recommended approval. The Technical Advisory Committee also recommended approval, and the Energy and Environmental Resources Committee have recommended approval. Now this morning, CVAC staff met with some city officials from Palm Springs, including Mayor Moon, and it was suggested that we could make this a little bit more clear that the master plan is a guide and that it does not finalize our route. So based on our feedback, we're recommending that the executive committee approve a conceptual CV Link master plan. To just reiterate, this does not commit any city to any route, and it does not determine our preferred project. That will all happen after the environmental work is done. There are no additional costs. But what this vote does allow for us is to bill and receive reimbursement from our funding sources for the master plan. And after a vote of approval, we will provide the printed copies to our stakeholders. And we're here to address any questions.
Is there any Supervisor Gerard?
Well, I thank you for to the staff. It's an important step we're taking, and it's a good one for those who believe that a multi-purpose pathway that will provide health, economic, tourism, all the benefits we've talked about is a good thing for the Coachella Valley. I think that it's important that Mr. Moon and Paul Springs has pointed out that this is not a final approval of anything. It's an approval of a way to move forward towards a day when we see real environmental documents and have real discussions in all of our communities about where exactly the route will be and how it will be finalized. And we want to get to those discussions, and we haven't got there yet, at least in most of the valley. So it's an important step forward, and key is that we've committed a lot of resources and time and energy, and some of it we need to pay for, and we can't pay for it until we take the step of approving this conceptual master plan. I think that there's general agreement in the room. I'm very comfortable with it. I have read the 10 bullets and compared that to, and I have read the original master plan, and I think that anybody who would like to can certainly look at that and say these are proper amendments of a plan that's been with us for 2 years, or approximately that long. And so I'm very satisfied that we've done everything we need to do, and I will move approval of the staff recommendation.
Second. And I agree. Thank you.
Any more discussions or questions?
Yeah, I'd like to make the comment that we did have a lot of discussion on this in my office just this morning, and our feelings are that Palm Springs really has not come out and made a statement on this yet. Because, one, majority of our city council is new. And also, we have an ad hoc committee on this who very much desires to hold some public town halls on this to get input from our residents, which we have not done thus far, which we will be doing in the very near future. And also, as the mayor, I really cannot support anything unless it goes to our full city council. And our full city council needs additional information to be able to make a meaningful decision. So the more information we can have when we make this decision, the better we will feel about making a decision on something that's so very important.
I so appreciate your input to call it, to make sure that it is known as a conceptual master plan, and then going down to the fiscal analysis that is presented in the staff report just takes it that step further. It's a conceptual master plan. No additional cost, but does allow us to receive reimbursement from the funding sources. Absolutely supportive.
Yes.
Also, the city of Indio is also going to be doing town halls to make sure that we get the input from our community at the same time. Our next town hall is
this Thursday.
It's this Thursday out by the polo clubs and through Heritage Palms and up through the Calavera North Indio. So we will be getting input from all our residents to what they see and how they feel this will move forward. So
and we've also done the same thing. Looking to have we've got one area that's very much wants the information stuff. We're going to talk to them and have some community output.
And I think this will help.
Yeah.
The information from the EIR will really make it that much easier to talk about.
Any other comments? Seeing none, I'm going to open the public comments. I'm sorry.
I didn't see my hand. The reason Rancho Mirage will not support the motion is because a number of unanswered questions, and some of them unanswered to a modest extent today, but not sufficiently. We need legal advice to tell us what the word approves mean when we're talking about approving this master plan. So what exactly does it mean? Does this mean the staff could henceforth say that the executive committee approved every last detail in these volumes? If somebody raises some detail on page 172 or something similar, it's a very important question. What is the legal impact of our approval of four documents nobody's read? That's a question. As to volume one of the master plan, what exactly is being approved? Just take the sources of income that one of the graphs and charts shows, identifies maybe 10 or 15, 12 to 15 potential sources of income to pay for operations and maintenance. Nothing highlighted as being where we're headed, which ones we're thinking about, or staff is thinking about. So just what are we approving? Are we approving for example, in that chart, one of the entries says transient tax. For some reason, CLAG doesn't like to use transient occupancy tax, the words that we all know better. This isn't money coming from transients other than through bed tax that we're talking about, just like our Mr. Kirk's first plan was back in early April. So it says transient tax is a source. Have we now approved transient tax as being one of the sources? Could they say later, we voted in favor of it back in 2 months, 6 months, a year ago? I don't know if they could or couldn't say that. And I don't know if they would or wouldn't say that. That's a big question in my mind. I wouldn't approve something that says transient occupancy taxes could be a source of income. I wouldn't want to be on record saying that. Starting with what committee? Well, strike that. Let me go back. I've heard that this item originally started on the agendas as a receive and file. Now it's coming down to now it's called a recommendation to approve. I heard that Councilwoman Foate and Mayor Pro Tem Harnick made the motion at the Transportation Committee to move and second approval as compared to receive and file. I'd like to know if that's true. I would like to also know if it is true, did Mr. Kirk approve this change? Was there a conversation between any of them prior to the time the motion was made? Was that motion set up in advance to be an approval instead of receive and file? I could vote to receive and file this. That'd be easy. But we're saying we approve it. And no matter how we might be lulled into thinking that it'll always be kind of understood that this really wasn't an approval. It's really kind of a low-level approval of some sort. Because I've been reading staff reports here now for a year nearly, and every time the executive committee takes an action, it always says the executive committee approved. Bingo. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, no discussion about it. So that'd be something to be thinking about. Starting with what committee? Maybe somebody could tell me, maybe Mr. Kirk could. What committee did the staff reports change from receive and file to recommend approval?
The Transportation Committee.
Okay. Which one?
Transportation
Committee. That's when it started? And thereafter it was identified as approval in the heading?
In the staff report, yes.
All the others following staff report.
I believe so, yeah.
I'm at E&E as well, right after transportation.
I'm sorry?
At energy and environment as well.
It was approved only.
It all said approved.
After transportation took their action, then it went E&E, and E&E took a position of approve as well.
It did go to TPS as an informational
item. Okay, I was curious because I'm not familiar with the status changing. I haven't seen it before, and I don't understand, maybe some of the nuances.
The change, if I may, the change of transportation was the Transportation Committee felt this is an item that it feels strongly about. This is an item that transportation and all the other subcommittees are supposed to be given an advisory position to the Executive Committee. And so, therefore, transportation felt strongly that it should not be just a receive and file. It should be a position to take for the executive committee to take. And that started the ball rolling to, then it went to E&E. E&E took the same position, and now it's here.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. I think that in the future we should be a little more cautious before we start talking about approval when there are so many issues about what does approval really mean. What I don't understand more than anything else is how we can approve this document when the environmental impact study hasn't come back. I mean, it's still out there, it's going to affect things, and we're approving a document without the environmental impact study? That's not something I'm familiar with. Perhaps the rest of you are. It's my understanding that when there is an environmental impact statement following the study, that it has to be circulated to the city councils and staff so the questions can be raised and discussed, and we move forward. By approving this now, how does that affect the impact of an environmental impact study? Let me just see about this question. As for the neighborhood electric vehicle portion of the master plan, a bunch of questions. We're now approving it, four volumes. Probably some people here didn't even know there was an NEV packet. But there is. And I would like, before I would approve the NEV data, I would want to know that all of the dates and comments in there are 100% accurate. List for us, I would say, list for us the significant dates and data necessary to qualify this NEV plan. Have all the required dates been fully and completely complied with? I have some doubt about that. But we're going to go forward and say, we've approved it, and we just don't care. That's a very dangerous approach to items. We're talking about a project that costs $100 million. This isn't just putting a pavement in somebody's driveway. Did CVAG, the executive committee, approve the NED plan at any time prior to January 1 of this year? I wonder if anybody knows the answer to that, because I'd like to know. It's far more important than you might think. What was the date of that approval, if it occurred? Have any of the city councils approved an NED plan for their jurisdictions? What did CVAG send to Caltrans for review in September or October of 2015 concerning NEVs? Who authorized staff to send any plan to Caltrans for their review? Is the draft NEV plan part of the project that is being analyzed by the Environmental Impact Report for a study for CVLink? There's just an awful lot of questions that everybody's assuming have perfect answers to them, and later it'll come back to haunt us, and I know the committee will end up voting in favor of it, but it will come back to haunt us that we've approved a plan without having answers to some of these questions, which are really basic, essential questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Harry. When the roll is called, I'm going to be voting no. This has been before three committees, and my city voted no all three times. I've not been instructed by my council, but I feel confident that if it was before them, they would instruct me to vote no, so I will be voting no.
Any other comments? I have some public comments. I think that
thank you, Mayor, and members of the executive committee. This item was on the February 1 Transportation Committee agenda as a receive and file. These four volumes were delivered late on Thursday, leaving little time for review. I felt it was improper to call for a motion to approve under the circumstances. It was done extemporaneously. Both Rancho Mirage and Indian Wells voted against the motion. Are we now going to disregard the title receive and file? And are we going to anticipate that now there's going to be a motion each time that is listed as an agenda item? What exactly were we voting to approve? Every statement in the master plan? Can we trust CVAG's label, receive and file? This action was supported by the executive director. In all cases, the materials are delivered with scant time to study, and the above-mentioned committees do not talk to each other. To call for a vote without advance notice and time to study the matter is inefficient and smells of politics when a controversial issue is under discussion. The intended misuse of Measure A funds defies logic when you read the Desert Sun's headline on February 5, $80 million in state funding cut from local road projects, where California State Association of County headlines road crisis hits home in Riverside County. Various members of the executive committee present today are members of the Fix Our Roads Coalition. Riverside County Supervisor Marion Ashley said, "I have recently spoken at a news conference to highlight how a lack of transportation funding is impacting Riverside County and could pose a public safety concern. Crumbling roads and potholes ruin our vehicles. Our transportation network in California and here in Riverside County are in crisis." Supervisor Benoit has echoed the same alarm. Roads in Riverside County rank as some of the worst in the country. I therefore ask, how can any member of the executive committee, the mayors and supervisors of Riverside County, justify the use of $20 million of Measure A funds to build a recreational path and another $600,000 annually to partially maintain it, knowing you are diverting funds from badly needed road repairs and endangering your constituents? Under these conditions and circumstances, Rancho Mirage should not support the approval of the master plan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Harold Flint.
I'm a homeowner who lives right in the center of this whole thing. And when we bought our property and built our homes and everything, we wanted it the way we wanted it, and we fixed it up nice, and everybody loves the area. All of a sudden, people are coming in from all over, you know, within 50 miles, that are making decisions on what affect our direct lives with the traffic and everything that goes on there. And it's very upsetting when you make a large investment and you want to live there for the rest of your life, and everybody's making decisions that nobody really cares. It's not their life. And I think you should all take a little more concern with what's going on in this situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Fontana.
Thank you. You know, 3 minutes is not a long time to talk about everything I'd like to talk about, so I will try and get through it quickly. I was very happy to hear Desert Healthcare District today talk about communities and neighborhoods. I'm here from the Butler Abrams Trail neighborhood with my neighbor, Hal Frank. And we think that neighborhoods are the basis of good communities. That's what cities are built on. We have a good neighborhood. We've been here many, many times to tell you that we think CV Link is a bad fit in our neighborhood, and we've told you why. We've told you that we have a walking and biking trail. We like it. We don't want to change it. It's safe. It's secure. It is country-like. It is peaceful, and it is comforting to walk the trail. But the master plan, and, you know, I've been here for a year at these meetings, and I find out from the Desert Sun that the master plan has been redrafted in January of 2016. Every meeting that I've been at, you've had my name and my phone number, and you know my position at it. I didn't receive a call. I didn't receive an email. I didn't receive a letter. As a matter of fact, when the whole thing started with CV Link, none of us received the courtesy of a call or a letter. And as you take this to your communities and you have your public forums, get out of City Hall and go to the neighborhoods and make sure that you knock on the doors and you know that the neighbors are there, and you're not just dealing with the Chambers of Commerce and the Kiwanis and the rah-rah groups that want to promote tourism. The Master Plan 2016 calls for monetization of CB Link. Okay? It calls for electric vehicle and bicycle rentals, I'm assuming at the regional headquarters for CB Link, and franchises to do food service. Well, my neighborhood is not a place to monetize. It is not a place to franchise. Okay, it is my neighborhood. It is a safe, secure neighborhood. Now, I'm going to shift because I'm going to ask you some questions that probably you need to answer. First of all, I was a planning director. I've never seen anything called a conceptual master plan. You either are or you aren't. Secondly, you know, talk is cheaper, and actions are louder than words. If you're very serious about your policy statement from earlier, then do this. Amend the master plan. Delete the Butler-Abrams Trail. Delete Highway 111 through Rancho Mirage, and consider alternatives. Those would be actions that would send a message to us that you've heard us, and you respect us, and you're willing to make changes. In the meantime, will each city's planning commission and city council review and approve the master plan as it pertains to their city, or will the CBAG executive committee's approval be final? If the motion...
Your 3 minutes are up.
All right. You know what? I will submit my questions then, if I could, Mr.
Please.
Henry. And then perhaps staff could answer them. Thank you.
Terry Mantle.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Terry Manley. I'm the owner and developer of the future master plan in the city of Coachella called La Entrada. It's a 2,200-acre proposed community that we've been working on for about four and a half or five years. I'm here this evening to express our unqualified support for the CB Link. We think it's an absolutely remarkable project. It is audacious, and with that comes a lot of complexity. My hat is off to everybody in this room that's been working on it for years and will be, by virtue of your roles, forced to continue to work together on it for years. This stuff isn't easy. I support the project. I support the people that are taking their time to try and work this out. You know, differences can be resolved, and compromises can be made. And at the end of a process, good things can come out at the end. This is an opportunity to champion a project for the Valley that is regional in its impact. It will be another big piece of the tourism and recreational puzzle here in the Valley. This is a diverse place. I develop in three states, and so I don't live here, and I'm not here full time. This has got to be as large of a concentration of diversity in as small of an area as I have ever seen. And a lot of those issues come to bear probably in this room with you guys on issue after issue, and I don't think this one is very different. I wish you luck. You've got my support. I'm down there at the east end of the Valley. We've got a group of business leaders at the east end that support this, and we stand ready, willing, and able to do anything we can to advance this project and clarify any of the issues. And if you're looking for a first phase for CB Link, we're ready.
We've already taken that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the comments that I've heard here tonight, and I appreciate the last comment of support. I also appreciate the concerns from the Butler-Abrams Trail folks, and I would just point out that the real impact studies and the real decisions about how it would look, how it would fit, or not fit in any particular neighborhood are done as part of the environmental impact report. And there'll be outreach meetings, there'll be opportunities to speak, there'll be opportunities to submit written comments. That's how that works. We're not here tonight to approve any of that. We're here to talk about the master plan, which is basically designed, how do we get to that environmental impact report, and how do we draw potential lines so that we can have a formal discussion about that process that will go forward.
But I'm also sensitive to the concerns raised by Mr. Hobart and others about, you know, what the word approval means. I was here when Ms. Foote said, I feel strongly about this, I want to make an approval, not just receive and file. And I obviously feel strongly about it too, but in the interest of trying to get some consensus, I would amend my motion, if that would satisfy Mr. Hobart and others, to make this item receive and file. If that satisfies the legal requirement and gets us moving forward as far as necessary budget issues and so forth. So with the consent of the second, I would amend my motion to receive and file this report, and that would be my motion.
I suggest we keep the recommendation as it stands. It's gone through other committees as a recommendation for conceptual plan. And I, too, appreciate the comments on all sides that this is part of the process that we have. And it won't change the interpretation, per se, of what we need to do next to get the environmental component going forward. And I think
we have changed from the committees in Mayor Moon's recommendation to have it as a conceptual plan versus the approval of a master plan on it. So I think the additional receive and file would make that much simpler, clearer.
I will second your recommended.
Thank you, Ms. Hickman. I mean, the chance of making this unanimous is so exciting.
I don't think we're still going to make it unanimous.
Well, I heard the mayor say it was receive and file. He would have no trouble voting for it. So I call the question.
May I ask one question?
Sure.
There will be, this won't hurt.
No.
Okay.
No. Won't hurt what?
We're doing well.
We're more wine milking.
Mr. Chair, just one question for clarification. Will we be receiving and filing a conceptual master plan?
Yes. Yep.
That's my motion.
Thank you.
And the word conceptual means what in this concept?
This means it's a concept, a straw man, something that is a small second step towards the final steps we have to take, and it means I can go to my residents and my city council and say, we have a concept here that I would like you to look at, and here is the concept. And that gives us something concrete to look at, something concrete to evaluate, and something concrete to come back and make recommendations to this body with.
We have a call for questions. Do we have a vote, please?
Yes.
Cathedral City?
Yes.
Coachella?
Yes.
Devil Hotspur?
Aye.
Indian Wells?
Yes.
Indio?
Yes.
Laquita?
Aye.
Palm Desert?
Yes.
Palm Springs?
Yes.
Ranch Mirage?
Yes.
Riverside County 4th District?
Yes.
Riverside County 5th District?
Aye.
I think we stopped
that. Wow.
Item E is a traffic signalization project. So we've had local share and national planning system engineer.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, committee members. What's before you tonight is to approve a contract to start a signal synchronization process valley-wide. I'll start off by just giving you a very quick background on how we got here tonight. First of all, this is two phases for the overall project, brings traffic signalization to the valley. The first one is called preliminary engineering, and the second phase is called system integration. So the first one is basically the design, and the second one is actually building it out. What we're here asking you tonight is just for the preliminary engineering of the design of the entire process or the entire system for the valley. It started off in 2013 with CVAG initiated action to develop a list of projects under CMAQ funding. And we received, I think, 25 applications for different projects under CMAQ. Seven of those different projects were related to signal synchronization by individual jurisdictions within the Coachella Valley. In 2014, we set up a review panel to look at all of those different and various applications, including the seven. And the panel decided that it would be best to merge the seven individual city signal synchronization projects.
Dennis? What I've been told is all the committee members read the staff report in great detail.
Great.
So if there are...
I'll second it.
Great. There is a public request. Mr. Wilde, he stepped out. Does he still want to talk about it?
No, he said he would be able.
Okay, thank you. So there's a motion and a second for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Any discussion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Great. Sorry to slow it down.
No problem.
Rancho Mirage opposes a $2.7 million proposal and a claimed need for us to surrender our right to control our city's traffic signals. I have frequently traveled from Indian Wells to Rancho Mirage without catching a single red light, and on other occasions catching no more than one or two. The most recent example the other night was following the Indian Wells Town Hall event. I got caught in the first signal on Highway 111 after leaving the Renaissance Hotel. From then on to Frank Sinatra, I had nothing but green signals all the way. Traffic was moderately heavy. This is an issue that requires no fixing, and I don't believe we should fix something that isn't broken. I doubt that few of us have heard residents complain much about synchronization issues in our respective cities. In Rancho Mirage, we infrequently hear of signal issues, which we fix immediately, but little or nothing about us having synchronization issues. That is not to say, and I don't mean to imply, that no such issue exists, only that complaints are few and far between. But this synchronization plan covers a world of signals beyond Highway 111. It covers every arterial within each of our cities. We are being asked to turn over all of our arterial roadway signal intersections to be managed by CVAG. In our view, CVAG is already big enough, and some say too big. Authority claimed by CVAG is authority lost by the cities. Authority claimed by a super government is lost to the cities, lost by the cities. Rancho Mirage is dubious of CVAG's various efforts to expand its authority, such as this synchronization plan, which has the potential to become another step in creating a single valley-wide parent organization. CVAG seems to have a penchant for expanding its power and authority in the valley, each time reducing a city's authority. Without a vote of our city or any city, CVAG has already postured itself as an organization having authority over creating a 50-mile bike trail. Recently, there has been talk in the executive committee of a uniform system of providing electricity to all cities in the Coachella Valley under the guidance and authority of CVAG. While it is premature to assume anything about this project, it illustrates CVAG's ever-expanding intentions. Now we are called upon to divest our cities of the right to regulate our traffic signals in favor of CVAG without first having been asked, or any city being asked, to analyze and vote on the concept. The cities should have a voice in this matter. CVAG is resorting to the same approach they used to claim authority to build the CV Link. I mean that they have placed before the executive committee a hugely important issue, which first should be submitted to every city for their council's investigation, discussion, and vote. Every city council member should be involved in decisions of this magnitude, decisions or discussions that each city undertakes with such expert advice as they deem appropriate. The CVAG committee approach is no substitute to independent assessment in a vote of the affected city councils. The CVAG committee approach is virtually a guarantee that everything CVAG advances gets approved, with each committee being greatly influenced by the staff recommendation and the recommendation of a prior committee, which merely reviewed the CVAG written staff report. No experts involved and no pro and con views advanced. You only get staff's viewpoint. Lest we seem paranoid, let me clearly state that we draw no conclusions as to whether there is such a plan or conspiracy to expand the power and authority of CVAG to the diminution of the cities. Nonetheless, we must at least remain vigilant as to what we can observe. Cities can incrementally lose their state-given authority to manage the affairs of their residents without ever realizing what they are surrendering. In response to Rancho Mirage's stated position by our staff in other committees, CVAG responded, "This is only a study." Our response to that comment is, if you want to spend $2.7 million on a study, that's your call. But if you think that when the study is finished, that Rancho Mirage will support the implementation memorandum of understanding, you will be quite disappointed. An implementation agreement requires every city to to support the transfer of power. We suggest we start over, and in each city we should discuss this process and how to use available funds to improve our synchronization needs. And keep in mind, Rancho Mirage will tell you then, as we're telling you now, Rancho Mirage will never again surrender control to a significant project to CVAG, at least anything that we see on the horizon up to this moment in time. Rancho Mirage has learned the hard way what it means for CVAG to claim control of a significant program or project. At this moment in time, CVAG claims authority without prior approval of the City of Rancho Mirage to devise a plan extending an entire web of multiple roads throughout our city. Never did we have a yes or no vote in our city council or have any right to discuss it except in this committee. On the recommendation of Mr. Kirk, our sovereignty was attempted to be overridden by this committee when it voted to conduct an environmental impact study on streets in Rancho Mirage. City Council said that we said were not available. That vote illustrates to me that a majority of this body places the desires of the Executive Director of CVAG over the voice of the City Councils who are elected to represent their cities. When the members of the Executive Committee disrespect the member city, it is time for that member city, and perhaps others as well, to reflect on what it means to create yet another super organization that can render cities impotent at times when their leadership may wish to more quickly resolve exigent problems. Set aside for now the issue of how many new employees CVAG may be required to hire to implement and maintain their long-term control over Valley signal synchronization. The staff report does make clear there will be new employees required, and doubtlessly the cities will be told they will be expected to pay for those salaries and pensions. Who can responsibly vote to incur such liability without knowing the pertinent details? Rancho Mirage believes our own city has handled the issue of signal synchronization quite well over the years. We have no problems because we solve such issues quickly. We much prefer an in-house approach, which avoids the need to phone in a problem to the super government and be told we have to wait in line for service. It is somewhat befuddling to juxtapose the concept of CVAG controlling synchronization of traffic signals in Rancho Mirage with the image we have of CVAG trying to jam down our throats the placement of CD Link along Highway 111, where six separate signal-controlled intersections would be crossed. Not a word has come from CVAG or this committee about the disruption to traffic that CD Link along Highway 111 would create, nor anything about the carbon pollution from cars stopping and starting all day long at these six intersections. In case not every board member has digested the import of page 15 in our staff report here, of the scope of work for the CVAG Regional Traffic Signal Synchronization Project, let me touch on Task 31. Task 31 states, essentially, that we are asked to agree and sign an implementation agreement in the form of a memorandum of understanding that thereafter will essentially give CVAG complete control of the synchronization process of all major roadways in the Coachella Valley. Task 28 talks in terms of training CVAG personnel to take over the operations and maintenance of the system. Notice also that in Task 31, that when the implementation MOU is prepared, it will be, quote, presented to CVAG's Executive Committee for approval, end quote. If the Executive Committee is consistent with prior practice, it will pass this implementation agreement rather than the City Councils of each city. We recognize that 2 years ago, Rancho Mirage supported the broad concept of regional synchronization. But much has occurred since then, and we no longer have confidence in this or any super government. We would never agree to such an arrangement, and as you may know, implementation agreements require a unanimous vote of the agencies making up CVAG. Make no mistake about it, we are being asked to create a new level of government which will place CVAG over and above each city in the valley concerning signal synchronization and perhaps and probably other signal issues. We are asked to create a new bureaucracy that each city will have to deal with when they have problems or issues related to signalization in your own cities. What the funding responsibilities of member agencies for that new governmental takeover by CBAG may be, I do not know. But Task 31 tells you that there will be, quote, a CBAG funding agreement, end quote. Rancho Mirage has seen the effects of CBAG having absolute control over a project in our city. We've also learned not to trust the collective will of this body when our interests conflict with those of the executive committee. There is no possible scenario where, in the face of a member city's opposition, our city would ever vote in favor of forcing CD Link to run down El Paseo in Palm Desert or South Palm Canyon, drive in Palm Springs, or any other street in any other city. Over the past few years, Rancho Mirage has watched CVAG take our original concept of a serene, supported by all concept of a bucolic trail, morph into its present status as a government-created colossus, a colossus destined to significantly impact our general fund tax base, as well as taking large sums of Measure A and TUMF funds, with no city having control over any aspect of this deviant mutation. Rancho Mirage has spent about $650,000 over the past 20 years or so to create a synchronization program that works well for us. And in creating this system, we have done so with cooperation and concern for the interests of both Cathedral City and Palm Desert and any other city seeking our support. If we can and, of course, will work in the future to cooperate with any governmental entity requesting cooperation. But Rancho Mirage has no interest in creating another super government that diminishes our city's ability to deal quickly with any issue that arises. If our participation in this requested MOU creates this super government, we must respond thanks, but no thanks. CBAG already has too much power, as the CD Link project illustrates. We will not strip ourselves of the authority to regulate our own streets and highways and surrender that authority to CBAG. Thank you.
I just want to announce that this was brought before our council at the last meeting 2 weeks ago, and I was instructed to vote yes, which is why I proudly made the motion to support it. I was instructed to do so by my council.
Mr. Chair.
All right, Ms. Harper.
Thank you. That was a lot. I have heard many comments regarding stop and go traffic along Highway 111, and that's why when I sat on that committee, and I think it was in 2014 when we had the panel, I know Mayor Hernandez was on that panel with me. That's why I wasn't surprised when we received so many grant applications regarding signal synchronization within certain cities. And when we saw how many we received, it made sense then to work together, because there are times when working together creates the efficiencies, the cost efficiencies that we need. Coordinating our efforts works better quite often. It's logical. It saves money. And the parochial thinking isn't always best. We always, at some point, we have to play together in the big sandbox. And that's where we are today. And with I can't think of a single time I've gone down up and down 111 where I haven't hit red lights. Now, it's not a huge concern to me hitting a red light, but it is to many of our visitors and many of our community members, and we do hear about it. So for us to work together in this effort to create some synchronization with our cities, I believe is logical, it's cost-effective, and I think we'll get the best result. And for that reason, I will also be voting yes.
Yeah. In Palm Springs, if you're buying much of anything like clothes, so we have more places to buy weed than shoes.
Yeah.
And you have to go to Rancho Mirage or Palm Desert. And I know just coming here tonight, I probably hit 25 stoplights. And I know at one point I was counting, I hit 7 red lights in a row. And I hear this all the time. I've only been involved with it 3 months ago. I've only heard this, I hear this all the time from our residents. And, you know, I totally agree with the discussion that tonight that our cities are separate and sovereign and independent governments. However, sometimes, as the new guy, I understand that this organization is here to work together on issues of common good. And I think this is a common good where we can work together and where we can go back and forth between each other's cities much more expeditiously. So I will very much strongly support this.
Mr. Hedden, let me ask you about Tom, if you heard the question. When this is going through and we do have issues, let's say that something about the CMAG, then we have the jurisdiction to go out and fix the synchronizations, continue to keep going up and fix the issue. So it's.
Yeah, a couple of clarifications. CDAG cannot take over control of your signals. You have to allow CDAG or a contractor consultant to work in your community. So that's one point. I think your question is, can a synchronization project be modified over time? Absolutely. One of the things we've already talked to the consultant about is making sure that we address your community, each of your community's issues with respect to events. Because we know that not every day is like every other day. And making sure that we can adjust the regional system for events, not just in Indio when you have Coachella, but across the entire region, because it does affect the entire region.
Well, looking supports this concept as well. I mean, where are we looking at the signals we need to upgrade to allow for synchronization within our own communities? And we hear that all the time, getting from point A to point B. And I don't believe that meaning that you get all green lights is what synchronization is all about. It really is about safe traffic flow, and sometimes you need those red lights to make sure there's efficiencies in terms of. I've learned a lot through our traffic engineer, as simply as building our In-N-Out Burger and what the traffic study entailed, and that it went all the way up from Washington and Miles to assess the traffic flow heading down to 111 and Adams-ish, where the In-N-Out Burger is on Simon Road, that it impacts a great number of trips and encounters. And in order for our valley to move, and especially with the festivals that we have throughout this valley, it just makes sense. And I can see that we may still need a traffic light consultant within our city and or a tech that is employed by the city of La Quinta that would then collaborate to make sure that the system is maintained appropriately. So I support the concept.
I mean, there would always be a conduit for communication between our public works and CBAC.
Construction. Just to add on the support, environmentally, this is a good thing. We know that our cars, when they have stop and go, they pollute the desert more and more. So the fact that they can move freely, I think, is a very good thing. And at the same time, for our public transit, the fact that, you know, you're going to be able to get in Coachella and maybe move down to Palm Springs or wherever in 20, 30 minutes is a very, very good thing. So our public transit will also benefit. I will remind CBAG, I guess the young guy here is going to remind all my colleagues that we tried this back about 15 years ago. And so it really does need regional cooperation so that it can be a success.
It's not the first time signalization
has been. It's not the first time.
Right, but it's been an issue through the city for a long time.
As the valley grows, as our population becomes bigger and bigger, we need to do things like this. And every regional area is doing very similar projects. So this is a good thing.
Mr. Henry, I just want to say, I know the motion will pass. I knew it before I started. The city of Rancho Mirage will cooperate completely with any project or program that gets moving, and will cooperate thereafter. We just want to go on the way with respect to making all of the decisions that matter. But we will be there as much for the group, whether we are part of it or not part of it.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No. Well, you have somebody opposed.
Yes. Got it. Motion, or I'm sorry, item F.
Okay.
Judge?
Yes, and I would ask Attorney Ed Brockman for the wording regarding that this was an emergency to have to be put on
When I asked if that was included in the motion, I heard yes in the affirmative, and then the motion passed. So I'm okay. I'll make that amendment.
Do we need an added presentation, or do we all get what it is? You all have the page in front of you? Yes.
Are you asking us to take this back to our councils to vote on this, or are you just asking for a regional approach?
I am asking for CBAD adoption, and I would appreciate it if you would take it to your council. I would be happy to send this in an e-file to you.
And just to clarify, of course, you handed out the City of Palm Desert resolution.
Yes, it did.
With the motion, we would make the minor changes.
Yes, so support in content and basic concept.
Yep.
So if you have to make any edits, changes, but yes, it does have Palm Desert's name in there, and that's why I would have it be adopted for CBAC and adopted today, and I would send it in an e-file so that you can adopt it for your cities or organizations.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Thank you. So we meet tomorrow night, and I have no problem taking this back to my group for a potential urgency agenda add. But as others have stated, without absorbing this, unless I have an opportunity to ask questions.
May I go over quickly with that?
Sure, that might be helpful.
Okay, so, and I'll go, it was, the bill passed in both houses to increase, to authorize more funds for more court positions. However, the governor said, I am aware that the need for judges in many courts is acute. Riverside and San Bernardino are two clear examples. However, before funding any new positions, I intend to work with the Judicial Council to develop a more system-wide approach to balance the workload and the distribution of judgeships around the state. So, there is a verified need for 108 more judge positions throughout San Bernardino and Riverside. Those are combined. The presiding judge of Riverside County, Harold Pop, is behind this. The Chief Justice, Pantil Sakayusui, is also involved and supports this. What it is asking is, we have great courts. We would also like timely access to justice. We don't have the judges down here. They are it's imbalanced with the judges that are up in the Bay Area and up north. We don't have them down here. So what we're trying to do is get more judges appointed in this area, the judge positions reallocated to our area, so that our community members can avoid delay and get access to timely justice in a criminal and in civil cases. That's an overview.
And this isn't urgent for us as a thing, because we're not meeting next month. You want to get
it's this. April 25th. Yes. It's the next time we're meeting. You can give it 2 weeks for yours, but what we want to do is, when the presiding judge goes up to Sacramento, he has a stack of resolutions. So if you can, at tomorrow's meeting, ask to have this put on the agenda for the next meeting, that would be fine.
When is he going to start?
I think it is beginning of April.
Can you email us?
I'll put you on an email. Thank you.
So there's a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Wait. Stop. Just a clarification.
Yes.
When do you need this by?
Right now.
Because in CBAC we won't be meeting until April 25th, we need it now. We would like the presiding judge to be able to go up to Sacramento before the budget
process. We need it from the city.
Before April.
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Thank you for those.
Can I make one comment before we leave? In the sake of time, I won't take this long, but we are fully supportive of the county. Maybe Mary and I said this. We're going to bring this to the county. I was in the legislature when we set up the formula that dictates, and Senator Roth has just beat his head against the wall, tried to help him, and this is an excellent example of that. His bill was the one that was vetoed. The governor's statement is right on. I can't argue with Governor Brown. We should correct it.
Squeeze him out of the north.
That's right. That's right. So I'm full support. Yeah.
Okay. Water and their judges.
So there's a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seems any. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Any questions on any informational items? Seeing none, we move that we adjourn the next meeting on Monday, April 25th.